tuning in to Art and Business and Murals, a podcast about running a small creative business with interviews, artist stories, and industry tips. I hope this podcast keeps you company on what can sometimes feel like a solo journey.
Hello and welcome to the podcast Art and Business and Murals, and I am your host, Sarah Scully. Today, I am talking about marketing without social media. Now, I don't know about you, but particularly in the last year, I've really struggled with social media in the fact that it takes a toll on my mental health and my productivity. And I often feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. I don't know who's seeing my posts. It doesn't feel like anyone's seeing my posts. And I just keep talking to the same two people, which are generally my mum and maybe another artist who's not going to buy my art or book me for a mural. So after I completely burnt myself out this time last year doing the Instagram experiment, which you can listen to the podcast about the results, and I've also put them on my blog as well, completely burnt myself out and decided that social media was not for me. I use it, I put it up information every now and then, but it is not part of my marketing strategy. It's just when I can find the time to shove things up there. But what we are talking about today is other ways to market without using social media. Now, I think there's a big trend, particularly in artists, to move in this direction because I feel like everyone can feel the toll that social media is taking. So what I'm going to do is go through this list of ideas. This is only just a very brief list that I have put together myself of ideas. I'm hoping that this list will inspire you and you will push it a little bit further. You'll start to think about your target market and how you can market directly to them. And the great thing is you are creative, so you can come up with really creative ideas to market yourself. Don't just do what the other artists are doing. Find new ways of doing it. So let's start with an online presence, ideally a website. I will go on and on about how great a website is, no matter how simple it is, even if it's an about me page, a portfolio, and a contact us. That's an online presence, making sure that you've got really good SEO so that people can find you. So that's search engine optimization. So if someone searches on Google and they search large scale abstract artwork, New South Wales, hopefully your website pops up on that first page. If you do not want to do a blog or feel overwhelmed at the idea or it's out of your budget, any other online presence is fantastic that isn't social media. So a great way to do this would be to set up on an online gallery such as Art Lovers Australia or Blue Thumb or Saatchi. That way people can purchase from you straight away. So if someone comes to you and they say, oh, I hear you're an artist, you know, where can I find your work? You say Blue Thumb, they look on there and they're like, oh, I love this artwork. You can say, look, you can buy it right there. The easier it is to get that sale, the more chances are they'll go through with it. Artwork purchases can sometimes be impulsive and you want them to purchase it ASAP, as opposed to on social media, they send you a DM, you write back to them, tell them the price, they say, I really like that, what's your PayPal? I can, and it just back and forth. So online presence with good SEO. If you do have an online website, I strongly suggest over time, when you're not overwhelmed, you start up a blog and start talking about your artwork. So when you release a new collection, you do a blog post about that. This boosts your SEO and it also can get sent out to your whole mailing list or anyone that's connected to your website. Another option is if you have a favorite blogger that's connected to your artworks in some way, for example, if you paint snakes and you've got a snake catcher, this has this, you know, great blog, and you want to do a guest blog post on there and talk about your art and why you paint snakes, perfect. Because not only are you reaching your ideal target market, but you're opening yourself up to making sales. Another idea, and you'll hear me go on and on about how important this is your mailing list. So anyone that's ever purchased from you before or inquired or anything, make sure you have their permission and put them onto your mailing list. And I strongly suggest you send out a regular email to your mailing list. Now, regular is whatever you think. So it could be quarterly, it could be monthly, it could be once every 6 months. It's up to you, whatever you have the time for. Personally, I send one out every single month. It's meant to be right in the middle of the month, but sometimes it gets pushed out a bit if I'm busy. But once a month, it always comes out. Now, the great thing with this is it's easier to sell to people that have already purchased from you because you've already proven that you produce amazing work and you're easy to deal with. Now, even if you start your mailing list and you've only got five people, get into the habit of sending them your monthly newsletter or your, you know, quarterly newsletter, whatever you choose. Oh, and that also reminds me, every time I send my newsletter out once a month, I always get some kind of response. So it doesn't feel like I'm talking to a wall. I either get a workshop ticket sold or an artwork sells or a print sells or someone inquires about a mural quote, or sometimes I just get a whole bunch of emails from friends and buyers that are like, yeah, good work, you're doing it. And for me, that's really important. I find that really valuable. So mailing lists, very important. I've only made it like two into my list of 20. So this is going to be a long, long one. I'll try and speed it up. So another way that you can market yourself is in person. And there's a couple different ways that you can do this. You could get a stall at an art fair or a stall at some markets. You could do live painting. So it's quite popular at events for them to have a live artist come in and paint. And if you are going to do this, I strongly suggest bringing in one or two or three of your already finished artworks to have on display so people can see what your finished style looks like and potentially purchase from you directly right then. So live painting can get you a whole bunch of new fans as well. And you could potentially sell that painting if it's not acquisitional. What else? Think about how you can solve people's problems or solve businesses' problems. So, for example, if you go and stay in a hotel in Melbourne and you realize that their lobby has insanely amazing walls but no art on them, maybe you could approach that business and say, look, can I put my art up here for 3 months and I'll change it out at the end of 3 months and have cards on there so you can sell to people directly. So think about how you can solve people's problems with your artwork or your mural service. Look at things like cafes or restaurants, just making sure that if you're going to go and put your artwork up into these spaces, that it's actually going to be seen. So if you're going to put it up in a cafe in a quiet little town where there's only 70 people and they put your art in the back room of that cafe, it might not be worth your time. So you need to do a little bit of research around that before you put your art up. And then also think about networking. Now, when I say networking, it doesn't necessarily mean that you network with other artists, because it's sometimes artists buy other artists' work. I know I'm one of those artists that purchase other artworks, but you need to network with people who are within your target market. So this could be networking at your local Chamber of Commerce. It could be networking at your local car show, if that's where your target market is. It could be networking with the local foodies or gym goers, or think about your target market and where they're going to hang out. Now, I know the thought of in-person selling is a tough idea, but you need to remember that when you're marketing yourself, it's not just about you and your artwork. You need to talk to these people and show genuine interest in them. So keep eye contact with them, keep your body language positive, and ask them questions. It's not all talking about your art and your business. Ask them what they need. Ask them where they're from, what they do, if they enjoy art, if they have a collection. What kind of collection do they have? Then they'll likely show you photos. And this is going to all give you an idea as to whether you're a good match. So try not to be too intimidated about this in-person marketing. It can be tough, but with practice, you get better and better at it, I promise you. You could go on podcasts as a guest. I would say start your own podcast, but it would be a bit tricky as an artist to make a podcast about selling your own art. So you most likely want to be a guest on a podcast. So that way you can talk about your art and the work that you do and who your target market is. Think about cold calling or cold emailing a business that you think your art would add value to. So for example, if you, walk into a travel agent to book a holiday and the walls are completely blank and it's feeling very, sterile in there, then you can just say to them, look, I'm an artist. I create landscapes from all over the world from my travels. My art will look amazing on these walls and it would bring so much energy and value to the space. Would you consider me putting my artwork up here and then making sure that you have cards to go with your artwork so people can purchase it on the spot? What else? We have group shows and competitions. Now, this is fantastic because it opens you up to a whole new market. So if you have a group show, not only are your friends and supporters going to come to see your artwork in the group show, but then you have all the other artists that are included in that group show bringing their friends and their family. So it's opening up your network. You could also have a press release and send that out to local press. Now, the thing, if you're going to put a press release together, make sure that it includes all your images as well and make it as easy as possible for the reporters and make sure that there's a hook. So if you're sending out a press release, it's not just going to be this artist just painted a new artwork and it's amazing. There needs to be a hook. There needs to be something important about the story that would make people want to, one, write it and, two, read it. So it could be artist moves to the Sunshine Coast after working with refugees and is now having an exhibition, you know, sharing that experience. You need to tell a story. So press releases, follow up with your previous buyers. As I mentioned around the mailing list, just check in with them. You could just shoot them an email and just say, checking in, making sure your art's hanging okay, doing okay. What are you up to? It doesn't have to be a salesy email or a salesy call. You could just genuinely check in with them and make sure they're okay. But that generally opens up the conversation. And when I do this, I'm not great at calling directly, but if I email or run into them at the shops, often they say, oh, I've got a project coming up that you would be perfect for, and so on. What else? You could try to sell your artwork on places like Gumtree, or even, I know this is a little bit social media, but Marketplace. You could look to sell your older stock on there that's not on your website. I know a lot of artists do that. You could paint in public. I know this could sound a little intimidating, but I think some people might really, really enjoy it. Any public muralist will tell you that painting in public will always get you seen and people always want to have a chat and know what you're doing and they want your details. And you need to have a business card on hand. And most of the time when I'm painting in public, I normally pick up my next job from someone that's just walking by. But you can also use this as an artist. You could set up your easel down by the beach. Bring your paints, make sure that you're mobile, and just sit there and spend an hour or two in the sun, maybe in a touristy area, painting the landscape, and people will stop and chat to you. It's a great way to network where you don't necessarily have to make eye contact all the time, which I know can be difficult, and it means that you can kind of keep working while people chat to you. Just remember to be friendly and inclusive. Let them know that this artwork will be for sale and then hand out a business card. What else could you do? You could join an art community. Now, as I mentioned before, artists aren't always necessarily your target market, artists buying art from other artists, but it's great to be part of a community because you can then leverage each other's networks. So, for example, I know for a fact that I don't want to paint life style or landscape murals. I just don't want to. Landscape's not my thing. So if I get a job comes through that asks me to paint the Sunshine Coast landscape on my pool wall, I'll say, sounds like a great idea. I'm not the artist for it. And then I'll put them on to other artists that I know would do a fantastic job because that is their style. So that's a good way to network and to potentially share work around and share networks as well. So that's joining an art community. Online galleries. So much like having that website presence, making sure that you're part of online galleries or even in real life galleries. That's great to have someone in a gallery that's genuinely trying to sell your artwork for you. That saves you having to sell. So you could have your work in bricks and mortar galleries. If you have a little bit of money to spend, you could do paid Google adverts. So when people type into Google, landscape, portraits, neon colors, Victoria, then maybe your artworks pop up. You could have an open studio. So if you have a space or even your home, you could hang up your artworks and have an event, which is essentially an open studio, and you invite people to come into your space. People are so fascinated by the way that artists work. They just want to see how the magic is made. So if you invite them in, maybe have a couple nibbles, maybe a couple drinks, and have them come into your space while you create, and then have artworks on the wall for sale. You could have an art show, which is probably should have been at the top of the list, having an art show. Or you could find an agent. So I know that there are now agents that are representing mural artists, and there are also agents that represent artists for licensing. So you could essentially pay someone else to do your marketing for you or find the work for you. Now, that's just a couple of ideas that I put together before I hit record. And if any of these spark any interest, I want you to ask yourself some questions. I want you to sit down, primarily thinking about your target market, and make sure that any of these ideas that you want to try fit with your target market. So think about, where does your target market go to purchase art? Why are they purchasing art? Are they purchasing it because they're renovating? Are they purchasing because they got a promotion? Are they purchasing for other people for gifts? How do they shop? How are you going to get your artwork in front of them when they're ready to buy your art? So, for example, if you sell large-scale abstract artworks with neon colors, you need to think about who's buying these. So let's say, for example, you've done some research and your ideal market are 50-plus females that earn $250,000 and above, and they often shop for art when they're looking for new furniture. So they're normally doing a bit of a switch out of their lounge room furniture or a switch out of their office furniture, and they shop for high-end furniture, and they like to shop in person because they want to be able to feel things and see the texture and check the colors. So how do you get your art in front of them? You could look at things like, I know there are massive homemaker centers around, whether you look at getting your art into the cafes in the homemaker centers or go direct to the homemaker centers and say, look, these walls are bland, let me put my art on here for a certain amount of time, or you go direct to the furniture. So if there's a particular furniture store that's high end that you could potentially sell your artwork in their store, perfect. Or you could go direct to interior designers or look at interior designer trade shows, whether you could do a live artwork painting at a trade show. How can you get your art in front of your target market? So if that's your target market, I don't suggest that you start hanging your artwork in cafes that are frequented by university students. That's just not going to get it in front of the right people. So have a think about all of these options. I suggest sitting down for, say, half an hour to an hour and brainstorming yourself. Think about your target market and come up with your own ideas. Again, doesn't have to be anything that any other artist is doing. Think outside the box. How can you get your art seen by your target market? The audio from today's podcast was from one of over 100 videos from the Creative Business Group Coaching Program. Now, I developed this online group coaching program because it was exactly what I needed when I first started working full-time for myself as an artist. It is the support and the encouragement and the knowledge that I wish I had when I first started. The Creative Business Group Coaching Program consists of a few things. The library of over 100 videos, which is constantly growing. And those videos are about art and business and murals and mindset. There's also fortnightly group coaching sessions with me, all online, so you can be anywhere in the world. And in those sessions, you can ask questions, share your experiences, and develop a way of thinking about your art business where it can be more profitable. There's also weekly emails with actionable tasks to help you market your brand, build your business, and develop your practice. There's also a library of digital downloads, which is also growing all the time. Some of these downloads include invoice and quote templates, contracts, safety work method statements. There's also a community forum where you can ask questions and share your work and ask for feedback. And there's discounts for in-person workshops, one-on-one coaching and talks, call-outs and EOIs directory, and there's so much more. Now, this group coaching program is perfect for creatives who are looking for ways to turn their art practice into a profitable business. You might be feeling a bit overwhelmed at the thought of social media marketing, plus developing a website, plus finding the time to create, and then also figuring out which ideas to continually develop. Well, I'm here to help. That's what this program is for. I'll support you with time management, with business mindset, with breaking down the larger, overwhelming tasks into smaller, manageable projects so that your business is consistently moving in the right direction. I'm here to inspire, support, and encourage you to follow your creative passion. The best part, though, is that the Creative Business Group Coaching Program is affordable. It's a monthly membership with no lock-in contracts. It's kind of like Netflix, a monthly subscription. But instead of watching all the Dwayne The Rock Johnson movies in a row, which is probably what I'll be doing this weekend, you can instead binge watch all the videos around art, business, murals, and mindset from the video library, which means that you'll be investing in yourself and your creative practice. So you can go to sarahscully.com for more information and to sign up, and I'll pop that link into the show notes as well. Until next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Art and Business and Murals podcast. Please feel free to reach out via email at podcasts@sarahscully.com or follow up the show notes on the website at sarahscully.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends and fellow creatives. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which I record this podcast, the Gubbi Gubbi people, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present, and emerging.